I want to talk about sheep in the Bible. Ken's done a good job of selecting those songs and everything that talk about the shepherd and talk about the sheep and everything, and we've been singing about it together. But if I ask you, how many words connected with sheep can you think of in the Bible? And how often do you think those words, how often do you think that those words appear in the Bible? Now, we're going to come back to the text a little bit later in the lesson. But let me ask you to think about, and did I think of all the words connected with sheep? You have any idea of how many times in the New Testament words like a sheep and shepherd and shepherds in the plural and flock and flocks in the plural and herdsmen and sheepfold? Any idea how many times those words appear in the Bible? Again, and can you think of of verses in the Bible that might talk about the shepherd? Other than Psalms 23, can you think of other verses in the Bible that talk about the shepherd? I found it really amazing when I used the Bible program to find out how many times these words were found in the Bible. And would you believe they're found in the Bible almost 500 times? The Bible talks a lot about sheep. They really, really talk a lot about sheep. Over and over again. What do you know about sheep? I wonder how many, raise your hand if you've ever seen a sheep sheared. Well, there are about six or eight that have seen sheep sheared. And so whenever you read that statement about he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears, he's dumb. That means nothing to us. And a sheepfold, and I'm the door of the sheep, and all of those words that are in the Bible were readily understood by people in Bible times. 500 times in the Bible, sheep are mentioned. We hardly know anything about them. I guess it was a blessing in my life that when we went to New Zealand, I saw a few sheep. When we went to New Zealand, way back in the 60s, there were 3 million people in New Zealand. And there were 80 million sheep. I've seen a lot of sheep. I understand somewhat about them just because, while I'd never, as far as I know, ever seen more than one or two sheep ever in my life to go to New Zealand, and they're all over the place. So I Googled today, how many sheep do you think there are in the world? And I don't know who would count them. I honestly don't know how many people would, how they would ever. But the Google answer is, there's 1 billion with a B, 1 billion sheep on earth right now. And I just find that number astounding. And so here's this topic that's in the Bible that discusses all of these things, and because we're never around sheep, sometimes we have trouble understanding verses in the Bible in relationship to this. And so here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to talk about what the Bible says about sheep to give us a better understanding of it. Some things I never knew about sheep until I was working on this lesson. The most delicate, the most delicious part of at least one breed of sheep is the tail of the sheep. And that's remarkable. And there is that sheep that has a tail that at the top part of the tail, it's 4 inches wide. And at the bottom part of the tail, it's 15 inches wide. And the best meat on the sheep, according to the people who eat that, is found inside the tail of the sheep. Now, the Bible doesn't talk anything about eating the tail of the sheep. I just find, Dan, you're dumb about sheep. Yep, I sure am. They don't call me Dumb Dan for nothing. But I just found that fascinating. Let's just talk about it. Where's sheep first mentioned in the Bible? Well, I think you'll know the first place sheep are mentioned in the Bible, and that is in relationship to the sacrifice that Cain made. Genesis chapter 4 is where you read about the sacrifice that Cain made. And beginning right there, whenever there is that first worship of God using animals of sacrifice, that's what God specified. That's what God told him to use. And so now then, all of a sudden, there are sheep that are there, and they're part of man's relationship to God. And some of the songs you sang tonight about the lost sheep, the 99 that were in the fold, or, make me to be a lamb of God. There's some spirituality in that. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the matter of Abel's sacrifice. Did I say Cain's sacrifice before? Abel's sacrifice. You and I need to understand there's a great lesson that's there. First time anything's mentioned in the Bible, you ought to spend time looking at it. Because if anybody ever said to you, and you worship God any way you want to, just say, ask Cain. And that answers it right then and there. And so God's given us that understanding. Here's some interesting numbers. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he offered thousands of bulls and 120,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Here's that altar that was there as the temple was being dedicated to God. And there it was being dedicated to God. And 120,000 sheep. In fact, the same thing happened later as they had left God. And you remember the four righteous kings. Bob-O, do you remember the names of those four good kings of the southern kingdom? What's the name of that first one? Asa, all right. That is Asa. If you weren't in when we did our walk through the Bible, Bob-O did remind us the names of those four kings. And the name of the first one was Asa, or Asa. And he did it by being a Japanese man doing this. And I knew Bob-O would remember it. I'll never forget how that great king. But when Asa dedicated the temple and restored worship of God because he's one of the righteous king, he offered 7,000 sheep. And then that third righteous king, the second righteous king was Jehoshaphat, and that third righteous king is Hezekiah. And so when Hezekiah dedicated the temple and restored the worship that had not been there for all of that time, he offered 17,000 sheep. And I believe that was the occasion whenever there were not enough Levites, not enough priests to kill all the animals and to deal with all the carcasses that were there. But let's turn our attention away from just some of the statistical, rather interesting, fascinating thing about numbers of sheep in the Bible and talk about the Bible talks about sheep and their leaders. Sheep and shepherds is that kind of thing. We got Psalms 23 there because we immediately understand Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And probably the most familiar chapter in the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. Maybe not the most familiar verse. John 3:16 would be, in our culture, probably the most familiar verse. But the most familiar chapter is Psalms 23. Think about what you learn about sheep. You learn about their needs. You learn about the fact that they cannot find the still waters and they cannot find the green pastures. And so whenever the Bible, just from reading Psalms 23, you'd have that realization. And while we would not understand, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over, we would not understand how that sometimes, as in a medicinal way, the oils was put on the sheep. And the psalmist says, when my shepherd does that, he doesn't just dab a little bit of oil on me. He anoints my head with oil, and the cup is overflowing. And that's the way God is. That's the way a shepherd is. And David, because he'd spent all of his life, that early part of his life, as a shepherd boy, he really understood about finding still waters, not turbulent waters and not pastures that you might be able to find food. Oh, no. That's what good shepherds do. And why we can make application of elders in the church in relationship to shepherds. What about you who are shepherding your children and providing for them so that they can have an assurance that goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life? I love Psalms 23. You know John 10. John 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I'm not that hireling. There are those hirelings who are trying to shepherd individuals and they are hirelings. You know what hirelings are? They're people who work and have no interest at all in work. They just want the payday. And there are, as you think about the contrast in our own culture, there are some preachers who are just like that. There are those individuals, and I think particularly televangelists, those kinds of individuals who constantly say, send your money to me, send your money to me, and they're hirelings. They're not really interested in you. They're interested in your money. You may be aware of the fact that Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. And televangelists say, silver and gold have I none, but such as you have, send to me. I mean, you've got that same kind of hireling concept, and we need to understand that John chapter 10 talks about that good shepherd. And he says the hireling, whenever troublesome times comes, he's going to take off running. If raiders came in to take away the sheep, they would flee. If there was adversity, perhaps the lion and the bear that David talked about, when the adversity comes, they're not going to be there. And so Jesus talks about that, and he said, I'm the door of the sheep. And because you and I don't understand the biblical sheep, we cannot see how we'd have a door in front of the sheep. But oftentimes at night, instead of leaving the sheep out in the place where there would be the danger of animals coming and picking off any of the sheep that lay out on the extremities, they'd bring them in and they'd put them in what we'd call a corral. And the shepherd, he himself, instead of closing a gate and then walking away from the place where he had placed the sheep, he laid down physically and he became the door of the sheep. And that's what Jesus is. He says, that's the kind of shepherd I am. I'm not just an individual who's a shepherd, but I'm there for you and I'm there to protect you. Shepherds in the church and shepherds in the family and individuals that, for whom we provide shepherding blessings, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And see, we don't know that. David knew it. And the sheep that David had whenever the bear and the lion came to destroy David, David risked his life to protect those sheep. And so whenever you begin talking about the Lord is my shepherd, we need to understand that. I find it interesting about King David in 2 Samuel chapter 8 and Psalm 78, where the Lord says to David, I needed a new king, and I'm paraphrasing this. I had picked the kind of king that they wanted and to take care of my people, King Saul, head and shoulders above the people, mighty warrior to lead them into battle. And he looked just like a king. But that's not what God needed. And by the way, that's not what the Lord's church needs in shepherds, those who are elders in the church. And it's not what your family needs. They don't need somebody who just looks like a mama or somebody who looks like a daddy. God said, David, you were out taking care of the sheepfold. I found you in the sheepfold. And I took you out of the sheepfold and I made you ruler over Israel. And listen to this, to rule with integrity. Isn't that remarkable? We've never seen shepherds. In New Zealand, I saw some individuals that were sort of shepherds, but not reality. I remember being on one sheep station, had 22,000 sheep that was there. But in biblical times, there was that shepherd, back to John chapter 10, whenever the morning light would come and it was time for the sheep to leave the sheepfold, there may be several flocks of sheep in there. And so the shepherd knew the sheep so much, he would call them by name. And he, as they came out of that sheepfold, be a shepherd standing in one place and another one in another one. And as they came out, he'd call them by name and they would hear the voice of that shepherd and they wouldn't go and follow somebody else. And there are a lot of voices that call a lot of people to spiritual goals. And they listen to any voice that comes along. If it's the melody of the voice or whatever it is, they're ready to follow that individual. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. I hope you're aware of Ezekiel chapter 34, where there were those individuals who were responsible for caring for Israel. And they're called shepherds. And actually in this chapter, they're not only called shepherds, they're called elders. If you can think of the culture of the ancient world, you'd have the elders of the city. If you can think of the American culture, and you've got the older men who sit around the fire, and they're the chiefs, and they pass the peace pipe back and forth around the around that fire, and the younger men and the younger people sat sort of on the outskirts and everything. And so here are these older men. And you've got that in the American Indian culture, and you had that in the Jewish culture. The older men of the cities set the rules. And so if an individual had a son that was stubborn and rebellious, then he was brought before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city put him on trial. And they made the decision in relationship to this. You know how tempting it would be to be a hireling in that kind of situation? One of the problems we've always had in political situations, rulers of cities, understand what I'm talking about, rulers of nation, is the matter of graft, the matter of money being passed under the table, as it were. And so here are these elders, these shepherds of the city, and they're in it for their own good. And Ezekiel 34 is one of the greatest chapters on earth to talk about the fact that you can't just have the honor of being an elder. You got to do the work of an elder. Parents, you cannot just have the honor of being the parents of your children and for them to make all the good grades and make better grades than your parents did. And for them to do better in everything, there's a responsibility that you have. And over in this chapter, and we don't have time to look at it, that's another sermon. We're talking really about shepherds tonight, talking about sheep tonight. Woe to the shepherds. You enjoy the fat of the flock and you enjoy the position that you have, but my sheep are scattered out on the mountain. Didn't we sing about that tonight, Ken? And they're scattered and nobody is going out to get them. I think it's rather interesting, John 21, where the apostles are told, particularly Peter, is told to feed my sheep. So sometimes we may not even think about the work of the apostles in the early church. Was to be shepherds, but they were to feed the sheep, feed my flock. And in John 21, Jesus uses different words. And the first time he talks about feed my sheep, and I believe the King James just says over and over again, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You've got the New King James. One, he says, the Greek indicates, and the New King James shows it better, take care or tend my little lamb. I find that rather remarkable. And the words that Jesus uses in John chapter 21 is a study within itself that shows the diversity of the responsibility that one has. A little lamb needs to be treated different from a ram that is, that's years old. And so it is in relationship to serving God. And so you look at Paul and see him sometimes dealing tenderhearted with individuals. Why? Well, he's an apostle. He's taking care of God's sheep. And so he says to the church at Corinth, shall I come with a rod in my hand or shall I come with love? I find that remarkable. Depending on the kind of sheep you're dealing with, and you study the lives of the apostles, and that's exactly what they did. Did not Paul stand and have Peter publicly before some individual? And Paul stood and rebuked him publicly. That's remarkable in and of itself. But he's trying to help God's flock in relationship to that. And I love John 10. John 10 verse 16, Jesus says to the apostles, other sheep have I, which are not part of this fold. He said, here's what I'm going to do. Now the fold he had in mind was the fold that understood the 23rd Psalm, the Jewish fold. But Jesus said in John 10, and that's that, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the door of the sheep. I call my sheep and they call them by name, they hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus said, there's another flock over here. And if I say the name Cornelius, does that ring a bell? He's not of that first flock. He's a Gentile. He's not circumcised, but he's one who's praying to God. He's trying to find God and serve God. And there are those individuals who were Gentiles who were trying. There's those individuals who are trying to serve God. And the Lord says, here's what I'm going to do. Here is this flock, and there's another flock, and that's the Gentile flock. And I'm going to take that other flock, and I'm going to bring them together, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Sheep in the Bible. And you've got to understand that whenever those were brought together, those Jewish sheep were no more important to God than the Gentile sheep. Why? They're just one flock. And in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew nor Greek. You're all one in Christ. So it's rather remarkable to think about that, Jesus and His one flock. Could we talk a little bit about sheep and goats? Sheep and goats. It's rather remarkable that we don't sing the song, "Oh, make me a goat of God." Ever been around goats? I remember in my younger years the goats that we had, and I can tell you story after story about my experience about goats, but I'll say that for just a minute, but you'll need to be listening in a minute. I'll tell you the time the goat almost got me killed, and I'll just hang in here. But when you think about sheep, what do you think about? Well, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And when he talks about these sheep that hear my voice and follow me, he says, no one is able to pluck that sheep out of my hand. And so we got a mixing of metaphors here. Here are sheep. They're in the hand of the shepherd. And I know it's figurative, therefore, and not literal. But here are those sheep, plurality, in the hand, singular, of the shepherd. And he says, there's not anyone that's able to take my sheep and pluck them out of my hand. And some people read that and say, once saved, always saved. You know, once you're saved, you never could lose your salvation. Once a sheep, always a sheep. When I was a child, I remember a young person going to debates. Young people, I wish you'd go to religion. I wish you could have lived in that part of my world. You know, not the un-air-conditioned part of it, and you know, and not the negative part of that world. One of the great faith-building things in my life was religious debates. And I remember in one of those debates, the gospel preacher was debating somebody about the matter, once saved, always saved. And the man went to this passage and said, once a sheep, always a sheep. And the gospel preacher said, but before you were a sheep, what were you? Well, you were a goat. So if it's true, once a sheep, always a sheep, then once a goat, always a goat. You never could be saved. I love that. I mean, that made such an impression on me of just how foolish it is to say once a sheep, always a sheep. You'd be a sheep that's wandered away. And if you and your own stubbornness wander away from the Lord, think of all of those verses. But let's not minimize the importance of what he's saying. Do you know how much God wants you in heaven? God's going to do everything he can. And don't you dare live in fear that you're not going to go to heaven just because you're not sinlessly perfect. I lay down my life for my sheep. That's how much he wants you in heaven. Now, you can be a goat, act like a goat if you want to, but you and I need to understand that the kind of sheep we need to be is the kind of sheep that hear the voice of God. I put Isaiah 53, and that's really our text. If you want to go back to slide 2 and look at Isaiah chapter 53, the text that was read, led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb before his shears is dumb, maybe I've mixed the sheep and the lamb, so he opened not his mouth. I want you to hear that. Isn't that the nature of sheep? Those of you who've seen sheep sheared, one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed in my life is here's this sheep, and he looks to be about this big because he's got that much wool on him. and the man who's shearing the sheep will just lay that sheep down and hold his neck, as it were, that upper part of his body in his hand, and take a mechanical cutting device and just cut and take every bit of that wool, and it just flows off, and it's such a beautiful thing to see as he starts on the one side and just keeps going and going and going, and then there's the sheep, and that little sheep jumps up, has lost half of its weight. And it's always funny to see a sheep that's just been sheared, how he's just jumping up and down. But if you watch closely, sometimes inadvertently, the man who's shearing the sheep will cut the sheep. I mean, this mechanical device that has the clippers going back and forth, sometimes they inadvertently cut the sheep. You know what the sheep does? Nothing. That's the way sheep are. I remember seeing that. I remember learning about that's the way Jesus was. They're spitting in his face. They're driving nails in his hands. And not just being clicked by some shearing device, but being abused with the most terrible way. He opened not his mouth. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to the one who judges the world. God will take care of this. And that's a part of being a sheep. And so that song we sang, number 950, so the third verse, and I love the change of words in that third verse. Just let me be a lamb of God. That's exactly what I want to be. The gentleness and the submissiveness of that sheep and the obedience of that sheep is something that we need to be aware of. Now, goats are another number. I remember when we were probably 4 or 5, maybe 6 years of age, we got a goat. And it had a harness with it. And we connected that goat up to the wagon. Now, I'm the baby in the family. And that wagon wasn't probably much bigger than the top of this pulpit stand here. And all of a sudden, there are 4 kids inside that wagon. There's Barbara, and there's Jerry, and there's Dot, and there's myself. And I don't know, is that goat abuse? Don't tell the Humane Society. But you know, that goat wouldn't go in the right place. But he discovered that if he'd run toward the house, and there was no underpinning underneath the house, and so there was an open space, he could be running toward going underneath that house, and we'd have to bail out. Well, I was the bravest one. If you're the baby in the family, you got to be the biggest one. I'm going to be the last one to get out. And so they'd start bailing out as that goat headed to go under the house, and Dan would sit in there and almost be decapitated more than once. They're stubborn. Stubborn. The boy next door, his name was Jackie, and he had a goat, and an uncle of his or a friend of his, an adult friend of his, says, I'll give you $5. You know how much $5 was when I was a kid? I'll give each of you $5 if you can catch a hold of the horns of that goat and touch his nose to the ground. That's the simplest thing on earth. You just got to grab the horns and just push it down. Not when you're 7, 8 years of age. You cannot do it. Now, we weren't allowed to kick the front legs out, but there was just physically could not do it. Why? Stubborn as can be. I know they're pet goats and they're good goats, but they're not in my understanding of this. So when I think about Matthew chapter 25 and that judgment day that's coming, when that judgment day comes and he separates the sheep from the goats, which are you? I just want to be a lamb of God. That's what I want to be. That's what we sing. O Lamb of God, make me your lamb. And I think that the greatest part of this lesson is this part right here. And that is to recognize that there in that separation of the sheep and the goats, when did we ever see you hungry and thirsty or naked or sick or in prison. We never saw that. Well, there's some other people who saw exactly what that first group saw. And they saw in that other situation an opportunity to serve God by serving the least of these, my brethren. And Jesus said, "And I, as you minister to those who were sick and hungry and thirsty and in prison, you were doing that to me." See, that's the way sheep are. They're not like goats. And I would encourage every one of us to have a realization that the relationship that you and I need to have to God is the very song we sang tonight. Ken, I was not aware you were going to sing that. In fact, I was going to ask David to lead 950. I was late coming in, but I was going to say, "David, stand up and sing 950 for us." Well, all lead it for us, not sing it for us. But that last verse, listen to the words of this. We sang these words. But let me just read these words to you. "I was so lost, I should have died. But you've brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood till I'm a Lamb of God." It's the kind of heart we've got to have. And I would encourage every one of us to, as we think about this, that becomes a prayer song in our lives. "Lord, help me not to be a goat." Years ago, the young people in this church used to sing a song, "I don't want to be a goat, nope." You may have heard that song, young people, in the ancient past. Those of you who are young adults may have heard it in the more recent past because you think you're not as old, or you're older than you think you are. "I don't want to be a goat, nope. I just want to be a sheep." Can I ask you to say that, not out loud at all? But isn't that really what this is all about? Sheep, we don't know about them. Maybe we know more about them now than we did when we started this lesson. But the important thing for us to recognize is we either have the heart of a sheep or the heart of a goat. And I beg of you to be that kind of individual that says, "Every day I live on this earth, I'm going to be like that sheep that is sheared. I'm going to stand before my shepherd. I'm going to listen to what he says, and I'm going to do the very best that I can, because if he died for me, I need to live for him." We come to that part of the service where we sing that invitation song, and the slide says, "What's your response? Sheep or goat?" Don't you be that individual who knows about Jesus and believes about Jesus. Don't you be that kind of individual who knows all of that and then will not make that commitment. But to be that kind of individual that says, "I'm going to make him number one in my life. I'm going to live for him. I'm not going to be a goat, nope. I'm just not going to be that. And when I've repented of my sin, then I can confess my faith in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of my sins. And I become a part," and on the screens we've got, "His church, His body, His kingdom." And we could add the word, "His flock, His fold." He came to take Jew and Gentile, and that's us, and put us in the body of Jesus, in the church of Jesus. And that's what we've got to be. Sometimes as Christians we make mistakes, and we need to be just as willing and as honest to repent as Christians as we ask other individuals to do. If you've done wrong, you may need to come forward. Or you may just need to go to talk to some individuals and say, "I'm sorry, I've done you wrong." We want to go to heaven, because someday, sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. Which hand would you be on if Jesus came right now? If you need to respond to the invitation, do so right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?